This morning's message will be brought to us by Brother Kenneth Davis.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone out this morning. I know it's a little cold and blistery, but it's good to be out and see everyone here. Good to see Brother Ed and his wife here, and see my brother. He's here, and my mom just walked in, so I got to be on my P's and Q's for real now. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your mercy, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your word. Bless us now with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I begin, I'm going to talk while I do this. I'm going to ask the deacons to help me out just a little bit to pass some stuff out. You know that January through March is Religious Liberty campaign month, time period. And so I don't have any Liberty magazines, but this in Adventist Church, for those who are not Adventist, we have a magazine called Liberty, and it is our flagship publication that talks about religious liberty, not just locally, but in our state and from state to state in our country and around the world. So we are heavily involved in religious liberty issues. We also have a magazine, well, it's a newsletter. If I can get it to come out. I'm kind of stuck. Could you pass these out? That should be enough. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. And this is called, it's called Waymarks. Waymarks is a publication from the Southern Union. We have different conferences, and South Carolina falls under the Southern Union. And so the Waymarks is kind of like Liberty Magazine, but just a condensed version. They don't have as long as articles that the Liberty Magazine may have, but we have different snippets of things that's going around the country and around the world that involves religious issues. And so that publication is put out by the Southern Union. If anyone is interested in obtaining further copies on a regular basis, because this is put out like every 2 months, so if you're interested in getting that, I can have where that I can get them and we can pass them out here at the church. Just want to say that in the Adventist Church that we support religious liberty for all people, not just people who go to church on Saturday. But if you go to church on Sunday, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Sikh, whatever your religious convictions are, we uphold that. We honor that because that's between you and God. And so how you choose to worship or if you choose not to worship, the Adventist Church is here to support that because that's your religious conviction. Before you go, Saeed, one more thing. now we're talking about freedom. That's the name of the message for today. So in this country, what's our freedom besides the gospel? We know spiritually as Christians, our freedom comes from God. But in this country, our freedom comes from what? The Constitution. So I have some constitutions, a little pocket I would like to pass out because it's something that everyone should have. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. And so that gives us, remind us, kind of like a civics class, but it gives us a reminder of what we believe in and what is the foundation of this country as far as our religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, all those First Amendment rights that we have. So I just want to pass that out also. And then once we get that, then I'll get to the message. But you can just kind of think about freedom. What comes to your mind when you hear the word freedom? What does that mean to you? So, everybody get one? Any more? We good? Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. All right. I'll just put this back over here. So, freedom. So, the word freedom, if you look in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, the word free is found 59 times in the Bible. If anybody who's wondering, in the Old Testament, it's found 27 times. And in the New Testament, it's found 32 times. That's the word free. The word freedom is only found twice in the Bible. That's amazing. I would think it'd be found more than that, but the word freedom itself is only found twice in the Bible. Once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. And we're talking about liberty. So liberty is found 27 times in the Bible, 9 times in the Old Testament, and 18 times in the New Testament. So freedom, does it mean that you're free to do whatever you want? What's it talking about? So I know Christ liked to use parables, so I'm going to try to stick to that. Something that you can relate to, it gives you an image and easily accessible. So I look in the audience and I think most of us have been a teenager at one time, right? There's only like little Emma, you know, she's not a teenager yet, but she's working on it. Maybe a little young man back there. But so being a teenager, I know something I remember, like I said, my mom's in the audience, but so I remember as a teenager, you know, you get to that age and you say, you know, I'm tired of being at home and I'm ready to get on my own and I want to do my own thing. You know, I know everything. I want to be my own person. So think about that. And then as we become adults, we think about, maybe that didn't make too much sense back then. So we have to kind of rethink that. So, and then sometimes I wish I kind of be back home, but then there's times I got to go by her rules. So I said, no, I want to be on my own anyway. So so I got to do that. But, and so the Bible talks about how we're supposed to grow up too. 1 Corinthians 13:11, it gives us some advice about how we should govern ourselves. And it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So being under our parents' roofs, they had rules, they had guidelines, things for us to go by, things to keep us safe, things to protect us, things to make us grow up as responsible adults. I know my brother, he's in the audience too, so I know we're both grateful of the rules and guidelines that our parents made us go by so we can stay out of trouble and be productive citizens. So let's think about maybe you might have been in the Pathfinders growing up or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts maybe, you know, something maybe a similar club. Maybe you've been out camping. So you go out camping, what's one of the things you want to do? You want to start a fire. If you're camping overnight, you're going to need a fire. And so what's the first thing that you're normally going to do before you make that fire? You're going to look for some wood. That's right. But you're probably going to clear a spot or find a spot that's kind of clear, kind of level. You might dig a little hole. So when you start the fire, you got some place for the embers to go. You might even look around, find some stones, find some rocks to put around the fire to keep it contained. Okay? And so now you got the fire going, and you know, maybe the sun's going down, and you got the nice little fire going, you're staying warm, you got some water going, you're heating some water up, making some tea or whatever, something to drink, cook some food, maybe some Big Franks or some hot dogs, whatever. So you got that going. Now, think about that fire that you got set there in the pit, stones around it. Is that fire really free? Can it just do what it wants? No, not really. Now, just imagine that same fire. Maybe there's a storm coming from the east or the west or whatever direction. And this storm is coming in. And that was blowing up a lot of wind. And say the air gets up under that fire. And now it brings up some embers. And it blows the embers into the leaves, into the brush, in the woods area. And now this little fire that was calm and was useful, now it's got the forest on fire. And now the storm has got more wind coming. And now the whole forest is on fire. And now houses are being burned. And animals are being burned. Just like in Australia, the forest fires out there. You know, they said over a million animals have been killed and burned by those forest fires. So that fire that's starting a little pit, Now it's become a wildfire. So it got free from the pit, but is it really free? Now it's become a wildfire. Now it's become destructive. Now it's out of control. Now it's become a menace to everything around it. So another example, let's imagine you've been out maybe, I'm going to say camping. Like you could be camping and maybe you're near a river. You got a nice calm river coming by and you can hear the water gurgling, you know, turn the corner and you hear the water. Or you may be out canoeing and you're just going downstream and the water's nice and calm and you're looking up enjoying nature. And you can hear the birds singing, okay? So, but is that river free? If it's within its banks and it's not disturbing anything, you're just going along this course. Now imagine the scene that we've seen lately on the news in Mississippi, where we had tremendous amounts of rainfall. And now this same river has all this water coming in. And now the river is rising and is overflowing its banks. Because the banks is what's keeping it in. But now it's overflowing its banks. And now you've got flooding. You've got streets that are now rivers. You've got stop signs that are covered. You've got houses. We watched the news the other day, and there was a house, the river had water got so high and got past its banks that this house, the water, the ground eroded, and the house fell in the river. And the house is gone downstream now. Everything in it is gone. So now that same river that was calm, now it's shown in, well, not shown, but it's done so much damage now, okay? And lastly, let's think about the earth that we're on. You know, this big blue marble, it orbits this bright light in the sky called the sun, okay? So I'm going to do a little science, so it's not class, I'm just, because I like science, so I'm not going to bore you too much, just a little bit. So think about science. The earth itself is about 93 million miles from the sun, 92.96 to be exact. Now at its closest point, the earth is about 91.4 million miles from the sun. This happens in January, this winter solstice. And then at its farthest point, the earth is about 94.5 million miles from the sun. This occurs in July. And as we studied in high school, some of us may remember, some of us may not, but you know, the earth, I was going to get the drawing board, but I don't have it. I didn't bring my ball. I forgot to tell me to bring my ball. But the earth going around the sun is not a complete circle or a sphere. It's what? Anybody remember? It's elliptical. That's right. It's more like an egg. If you've got, say this is the sun, and the earth, instead of being a circle, is more like this. It goes out, comes in, and goes out and comes back in. So it's more elliptical. That's how the earth orbits the sun. And as it's orbiting the sun, it's spinning. You know, it's spinning on its axis. So the earth is spinning while it's going around the sun, and the earth actually tilts a little bit as it's orbiting around the sun and as it's spinning. So it's doing a whole lot of stuff going on. Now, the earth is in what's called the Goldilocks zone. Anybody remember hearing that term? So you know Goldilocks with the three bears, with the porridge, one was too hot, one was too cold, one was just right. Well, the orbit that the earth is around the sun is just right. Because if the earth is any closer to the sun, what's going to happen? We're going to burn up. If the earth is too far away from the sun in its orbit, we're going to freeze. So that's not by accident, just to put that out there. That's not by accident. So is the earth free to just do its own thing? Maybe it wants to go out into orbit where Pluto is and then come back again or something along those lines. We'll all be dead. We wouldn't survive that. So, moving on to freedom, to liberty, to what those words really mean. So we've heard those words, freedom, liberty. Now, I've got a few quotes I want to read from a few people, and you know the names. Mahatma Gandhi, he said that freedom is not worth having if it does not include the freedom to make mistakes. We can agree that. Well, that's what God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, All the trees you can eat, but this tree here, do not eat of it. He didn't make it where they couldn't. He said, don't do it. He knew there's a possibility they could do it. So they had some freedom to do it, but those consequences come with that. Ralph Ellison, he wrote, when I discover who I am, I'll be free. That was in the book, Invisible Man. Benjamin Franklin, he said, they who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Abraham Lincoln, he said, those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves. John Steinbeck, who wrote East of Eden, he said, but the Hebrew word, the word temshul, thou mayest, that gives a choice. It might be the most important word in the world. That says that the way is open, or you have a choice. That throws it right back on a man, for if thou mayest, it is also true that thou mayest not. So we're talking about freedom, choices, things you can do. Thomas Jefferson said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we got two more. Patrick Henry, we all know this one. We hear this all the time. It says, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me what? Liberty or give me death. And the last one from Ellen G. White, Desire of Ages. She says, the soul that is yielded to Christ becomes his own fortress, which he holds in a revolted world, and he intends that no authority shall be known in it except his own. A soul thus kept in possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of Satan. I mean, Satan can't get in if Christ is our fortress, if Christ surrounds us. So, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 10, this is the first reference in the Bible to the word liberty. It talks about the year of Jubilee. Jews had a time when it was the 50th year, and this had a time period where, I'm just going to read it because I get it mixed up there. But it's where if people had sold themselves to other Jews, they would be able to be redeemed and go back. Any property that you may have held and you sold it for whatever reason, you got it back. All property was to return to the original owner or descendants, and all slaves must be set free to return home. And I'll just read what it says. It says, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. That's in the King James. King James is kind of a little, I'm not going to say old-fashioned, but sometimes it's kind of hard to understand. Now, the clear word, this is how to reason the clear word, and it's a paraphrased Bible. It says, this shall be called the Jubilee. It is a year of freedom, a time to proclaim liberty throughout the land. This is the year when all property must be returned to its original owner or to his descendants, and all slaves must be set free to return home. So we see God had made provisions for his people to be set free regardless of the circumstances they may have found themselves in. Sometimes people had circumstances, they owed money, they couldn't pay it. They couldn't grow food to pay off the debt. So they had to sell themselves into slavery to someone else. But God didn't, he said, okay, you can do that. But he didn't intend for that to be the case through infinity or through perpetuity. He said, okay, at the 50th year, if you still hadn't been able to pay your debts off, you haven't got a family or a brother or whoever, someone to help pay your debt, at this time period, that debt's gone, that debt's erased. And we'll get to the spiritual application of that later. So Psalm 119, 44 and 45 says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. So did you catch that? Let me read it again. It says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. So we see the word liberty coming in here, and then we see an additional now word, law. We were talking about laws and guidelines earlier that keeps us out of trouble. So, and then this verse, I'm sure most of us have heard this verse before, Isaiah 61:1 is where the prophet Isaiah was speaking of Jesus, the Messiah. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." So notice these words that Isaiah is speaking when he's speaking prophecy, what's going to happen in the future. It says to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So now people can read that, and it is talking about the physical people, physical captives, people physically in prison. But he's also talking about spiritually. So what spiritual prison are we in? Or how are we kept captive spiritually? So that's why he came to this earth in the first place, right? To free us from our spiritual prison. Jesus himself read these words when he was on this earth. We can see that in Luke 4:18. And he said himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So here Jesus is still talking about a spiritual application and a physical application. So let's just do a little recap about the close. So it says, so we see that freedom isn't about being a teenager and I want to get away from home, away from my parents, so I can do my own thing. No, that's not freedom. So freedom isn't about having a campfire that you have contained and it has a purpose, and then it gets loose and becomes a wildfire. That's not freedom. Or it's not about a river being calm within its banks, and then all of a sudden, because of a lot of rainfall, whatever the case may be, and that was overflowing its banks, and that was washing houses away and causing destruction. That's not freedom. Okay? Let's look at some examples. Or the earth spinning out of control. That's not freedom. Let's see some examples in the Bible. What about the Tower of Babel? What were they doing? They wanted to build this tower because of what? Because they just had came from the flood. So they said, well, if God does not a flood, we can build this tower and escape from being destroyed again. They were going against God's will because he already said, I'm not going to have another flood. They didn't trust him. What about Moses when he got the Ten Commandments? What were they doing down in the valley? They built a golden calf. They started partying. They said, oh, this Moses, he's not coming back. We got to make our own God. Freedom isn't making your own God. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? They were free to live as they wanted, but what happened to them? They got destroyed by fire and brimstone. So that wasn't freedom, because God doesn't destroy himself. He's free. So Scripture, the Word of God, tells us what true freedom and liberty is. I can't tell you what freedom is, because I'm just a human just like anyone else. So we have to go to our Creator. He made us. He knows how we're supposed to live, how we should operate, what we're supposed to be doing. So the Bible tells us what freedom and liberty really is. Freedom, if we do what we want, when we want, where we want, and how we want, what's that called? It's called sin. I want to do it my way. I want to do how I feel like it doing. You know, no, we can't do that. Freedom, true freedom and true liberty, for us is being liberated from the slavery and captivity of sin. That's freedom. Because when we're in sin, we're not free to worship God as how he made us to. God provides order and stability and protection. Sin causes us to be enslaved to chaos and disorder and instability. Let's look at James 2:12. It says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So we can be judged by the law of liberty. Now think about that. It doesn't say just judged by the law. It says by the law of liberty, the law that sets you free. So what are we being set free from? We're being set free from sin. The law sets us free from sin. Now, in the clear word, it says it this way. It says, so speak and act as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, which sets us free from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. So salvation through Jesus Christ sets us free from the bondage of sin that we're currently living in. Also, let's look at James 1:25 again. It says, but whoso looketh, and that was the scripture verse, look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, the clear word has it this way, and I like how the clear word has it. It says, but if he carefully looks into the mirror of God's perfect law, he will see that it is a law of liberty intended to set him free from sin. So that's true freedom. True freedom isn't, I want to do it this way. I want to do my own thing. I want to, no. Freedom is being free from sin. When we do things God's way, we are free from sin. As God's people, we are not free to do what we want. So as I close, read this. It says, let's remember that God gives us freedom by liberating us from the power and control of sin. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is truth? Well, the Bible explains itself, right? I can't give you an explanation of what it means. The Bible has to explain itself. So the Bible says, Jesus said himself in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He says, everybody knows it. Everybody heard this before, probably know it by heart. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's by Jesus that we have true freedom and true liberty. Because when we accept Christ as our Savior and go by the guidelines that he has given us, the rules and regulations, then we are truly free, because then we are free from the captivity of sin. In Jesus, we have life, we have freedom, and we have liberty to worship God the way he intended for us, which is a life free from sin. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the liberty, for the freedom that you give us in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, now that we will remember the things you've done for us. We pray that we will live out the life you've chosen for us. For you made us, you created us, and you redeemed us. So that makes you twice our sovereign being. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us as we go out from among this congregation today. May we take these words that you've given us in the Bible and share with those we come in contact with, so they can also experience the freedom in Christ that we know of. We thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.